Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured.
Good morning, Fairview. Good morning. And welcome, baby, wherever you are. Several months ago, Sarah emailed me and asked if Alonzo and I would give a message about gratitude on the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. And so here we are, and I got to go first and get it over with. I guess Sarah thought she might be busy in November. I can't imagine why not. But when I started thinking about her call, I remembered a sermon that she gave probably 4 or 5 years ago on gratitude. And in that message, she suggested that we might want to think about using and writing in a gratitude journal. And I was sitting over there and thought, I already do that, because I had been gifted with a gratitude journal, which is just a book of blank pages, no dates even. And my smugness lasted just a few minutes, because after I thought, I already do that, then I thought, golly, when did I last do that? And it was a long time ago. I do have to say that I think about gratitude a lot more now, whether it's because of my age or the time in my life that I have more time to think and reflect about things like gratitude and mindfulness, because I think the two go hand in hand. I also believe that the topic of gratitude is trendier nowadays. So I asked my Kindle to show me some books that might be about gratitude, and to my astonishment, up came 883 titles of books, pamphlets on gratitude. So my cynical side took over, and I looked at some of the titles, and I'll share some of those with you. The Gratitude Game, 21 Days to a Healthier, Wealthy, and More Beautiful You. The Gratitude Power Workbook, Happy on Purpose, and The Gratitude Jar, A Simple Guide to Creating Miracles, and so on. So as I said, my cynicism sort of bubbled up, and then I put the brakes on and said to myself, wait just a second. Shouldn't I be grateful that there are so many books out there that help people move toward gratitude, prod us toward gratitude? And what I've come to over the week since Sarah's call is, yes, I am thankful for all those books, and I'll tell you why. Because I believe that gratitude is an antidote for alienation, despair, and depression. I hope that you were here last week to hear Rod Eccles' sermon on the transformative power of love, because powerful it was. It was a barn burner. But this morning I'd like to direct your attention to the transformative power of gratitude, or you can call it thankfulness. Either will do. Take just a moment to think of the intricate web of people whose exertions support my daily life and yours. All those mostly unseen daily efforts on the part of others sustain and enhance our experience, our existence. The folks who collect our trash, stock our grocery shelves, bag our groceries, street sweepers, secretaries, babysitters, gardeners, teachers, nurses, cops, administrators of all sorts, thousands of people who support and make our lives possible. And gratitude is the joyful recognition of that fact. Now, the admonition to count your blessings sometimes sounds really trite, but thankfulness gifts us with renewal, reflection, and reconnection, a way for us to focus not on what we lack, but brings our attention to all that we have. Rabbi Harold Kushner, a rabbi who wrote a book you might be familiar with, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, writes, "Can you see the holiness in those things you take for granted? A paved road, a washing machine. If you concentrate on finding what is good in every situation, you will discover that your life will suddenly be filled with gratitude, a feeling that nurtures the soul." Now, some days gratitude is really easy, isn't it? Others, you may feel only gratitude that the day is over. But what happens when there is a devastating loss, a bad accident, and a dreadful diagnosis? I've had some of those, and so has everybody in this room. But if you have a well-developed sense of gratitude for what is good in your life, it can ground you and provide a path for meeting those and ameliorating those challenges and sorrows and difficulties in your life. A wise Buddhist teacher asked his students, "Which has more value in your life? Where have you grown more and learned more? Where have you become more wise and learned more? Where have you learned patience, understanding, equanimity, and forgiveness?" You know the answer, and so do I, because our challenges are our greatest teachers. Through pain, we learn compassion. Through barriers, we learn to be strong. And through mistakes, we learn humility. An attitude of gratitude is something that we can build into our lives by taking a few minutes every day in some way to think of and say thank you to the things that you are grateful for. Now, you can write in a journal. You can incorporate it into, if you have a daily meditation time or a daily prayer time, you can incorporate your thanks there. You can do it while you're brushing your teeth or taking a shower. Make sure your shower is short, though. Don't waste water. Some daily activity that acts as a trigger for remembering to say thank you. It can produce an amazing shift in your perspective and will open your heart. Brother Alonzo.
As we all know, it's the season of Thanksgiving, the season of gratitude. And like Rebecca, when I was asked several months ago, all of a sudden my mind started racing. But what could I share? I could share about what I should be thankful for, what I am thankful for. And a lot of things came to mind, but one thing that kept surfacing, when I get down to it, in truthfulness, I find myself that gratitude does not always come easy for me. And so I thought, you know, maybe I should speak to that, the difficulties I have in expressing gratitude, accepting gratitude. And I'm not going to get into the psychoanalytical stuff, but I'd be happy to talk with you about that. It's primarily based in self-doubt, a lack of self-love, learning that part so that you can, in fact, embrace, accept, and share gratitude. But what I have found, even today, as the calendar dutifully marches to the season of gratitude, my attitude doesn't always keep pace. And I have to work on bringing that attitude in compliance with the calendar of gratitude, the calendar of the holiday season. And there's no logical reason for it. My life's not a series of crises. In fact, you know, looking back, I'm quite blessed. And there's a lot of reason to be grateful. But I also sense that I'm not alone in this challenge, this dilemma that I embark probably annually. So a matter of bringing myself. And like the best laid plans, plans of mice and men, I'm hoping the next few minutes, you know, have an upward trajectory rather than a downward spiral. When I first looked at the bulletin this morning, I says, when were we going to have a scripture reading? Having picked out my own separate scripture, only to realize, had I read my email last Wednesday, I would have known what the scripture reading was. But just the same, I'm going to stick to my plan. And I'm going to share with you a biblical writing that I have as impression on me and about what the Bible says in terms of our gratitude in the Christian walk. And it was from letters written by the Apostle Paul to a young group of Christian movement of both Jews and Gentiles in the northern area of Greece. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the core reading is from verses 16 and 18. But I'm ever a pessimist, so I always ask when I get the bulletin, and the scripture always stops on whatever number X. I always say, well, what does X1 plus 1, X plus 2 have to say about it? Why did they cut it short? So I'm going to read the X plus 1, the X plus 2 to hear what that also has to say about this gratitude. And also, I want to read from The Message. It's a contemporary interpretation of biblical readings. I've always found that to be very thought-provoking, only because it's written in a language that I'm most familiar with. So here's verse 16 through 18. Be cheerful no matter what, and pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. And that seems clear enough, however difficult it may be to remain cheerful at all times. But then here's the cynicism me that continues to read on. And this is the part I probably like most. Don't suppress the spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything. Keep only what's good and throw out anything tainted with evil. Oh, so I get a little insight as to my cynicism, perhaps my difficulties dealing with gratitude. Because I'm a natural-born cynic, a product of the 60s, if you will. One who snuck readings of Catch 22, Clockwork Orange, Portnoy's Complaint, Valley of the... No, my mother found that one and threw it out before I had a chance to even get to read that one. But at any rate, I was trying to embrace what was going on in culture at that time at the whatever age, 11 or 12. It actually taught me how to read. But I must say, cynicism has served me well over time, but I also confess it's kept me from receiving and sharing the fullness of God's blessings. But today, this Sunday, we confront an issue ever present, and that is the upcoming season, okay? So some questions I want you to ask yourself, and I always have to ask myself. Is the goal to survive or to thrive? Come January, will I look back on a season of perfunctory actions or a season that was profound? And I suggest that the answer really depends on the attitude of your gratitude. Okay. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a psychologist. I can't present you any rigorously documented theories or research. I'm just a fellow FCC'er who's happy to share my thoughts, my rough street level view on how we might make the most of this holiday season. And this is where I have to take a caveat. Sarah would laugh. She says the next ensuing moons are going to be very linear thought, very baby boomer engineering based thought. But of course, Sarah's a millennial. So bear with me. The way I see it, the attitude of our gratitude is influenced by two concurrent forces that touch our daily lives, whether consciously or not. The first of these is what I call the tenets of social behavior. It's expressions, actions, and deeds, primarily of gratitude, the expression of thank you. Example of the child who has to be reminded to say thank you when they grab the candy from somebody's hand and go to sprint off. There, it's a learned behavior, the action of hugging and kissing, smiling, making a phone call, writing a thank you note. Over my life, I've heard I don't know how many grandkids written off the will because they failed to write the thank you notes over and over and over again. They failed to learn that social behavior that ingratiates them to the broader society. And then the deeds, which are upheld the most society, of sharing, of helping, and giving. And these are all what I consider interpersonal behaviors that help us maintain and reinforce the social fabric that is our own cultures, our community, and the society at large. So that's the first of the two forces. And looking back on myself, it's like I have to come to the conclusion there's also the second, and that's the motivational underpinnings of my social behavior. What motivates me personally to engage in this learned behavior of gratitude? Now, the cynic in me believes that there's a realm of fear. It's a very strong force that motivates a great deal of human behavior. I found that to be evident in myself. I found it to be evident in many people. But the optimist in me also realizes there's a more positive force, a force that can be harnessed with equal power in the form of motivation. And I will beg, borrow, and steal from the Hindus and like to call this the realm of enlightenment. And on this continuum, we operate between fear and enlightenment. And gratitude can be expressed across this continuum as I see it. Example, expressing thanks to a group who invited you just so you won't be looked as an ingrate who simply came and took. That's the realm of fear, expression of gratitude to avoid the judgment. The expression of gratitude so you won't be rejected or you won't be punished by your parent because you didn't say thank you and you're not getting dessert tonight at dinner. We kind of learn that there's reasons why we express gratitude. Also, thanking of a friend out of relief who was able to cover for you because something came up and you were not able to fulfill a commitment. Moving along that continuum, ultimately to thanking somebody just for being your friend, to be in relationship. And on the continue towards enlightenment, I would put in empathy, hope, love, perspective. That of thanking those who volunteer because people need to be acknowledged for their efforts. So, and on that continuum, I say one thing that does not exist, and I think Rod pointed out very clearly, indifference and apathy. Apathy has no capacity for gratitude. There's no room. Guilt does. Joy does. Apathy, indifference, there is no room for gratitude in there. So that's a whole different, you know, in this baby boomer XY axis, that's the Z axis. And so, but that gets a whole nother algorithm going. So I want to finish up with how do we move then in this holiday season from the perfunctory to the profound? And I wish I had more on my sheet of paper to share with you because I still grapple with that. But in my experience, gratitude expressed from any number of thoughts and emotions, but it's most profound when it's motivated by attitude based in enlightenment, encompassing those things that we within the realm of enlightenment. But shifting your attitude from the perfunctory to the profound is often awkward, often uncomfortable. So on that, if you find yourself this season struggling to move from one dimension to the next in terms of your experience of holiday sharing, let me suggest this. Consider the first time you jumped off a high dive. Can we recall when you were a child or young, jumping off a high platform or wherever? Looking at that, a resistance, a fear. You knew you were scared, but your desire to be with others, to share the experience, ultimately drove you to take that leap of faith, to leave that boundary, to plunge into the beautiful blue, to share the experience of swimming in the deep end with your friends. So I invite you this season to jump in the deep end. Make a conscious effort to express your gratitude through profound thought and emotion.